tonight? Huh? You? What do you want? What do you want from the Lord? You want what? You got something?
Yes, I do.
Who's got, which one? Yeah. Tell us what happened. Tell us your name again.
It's Becky.
Becky.
When Brother Dwayne put his hand on my stomach and he prayed over my tumor, it had been pushing on my gallbladder and my liver and my split, my pancreas. And I've been in severe pain for about 2.5 months. I woke up Monday morning pain-free and said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
My swelling is going down. I'm not having pain, and I'm able to put my clothes back on.
That is wonderful, Becky. That is wonderful.
I go see the surgeon on the 15th, and we're praying that he don't find anything now.
Amen. Amen. That was good. You know, somebody enjoyed that tonight. I was one of them.
I know. I love it. I'm just thrilled over it.
Amen. Amen and amen.
I can't say enough thank you, Jesus, all day long. All week long I've been saying
that's
it.
That's good, Becky. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Amen.
But I had to share that because it does really happen for those that don't really
think it does.
It truly, truly does.
It truly does.
And I know Pastor Kelly had her hands on me when she was praying, too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so, 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 so happy to hear that. God is so good. And you know, if you really do something that impacts your life, you'll tell it. You'll absolutely tell it. Does anybody else have anything else they want to say or some, if they need something? Anybody? Can you hear me good? All right then. Let's go to John chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. I'm going to read out of the NLT translation of the Bible. And I've got a specific thought. I don't have 10 thoughts. I just have one thought. And we'll begin. And the next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine ran out. The wine supply ran out during the festivity. So Jesus' mother told him, son, they have no more wine. And she knew what she was getting at. She knew what her son was capable of. At this time, he was about 33 years old, and she had already known that child that she bore, that there was no room for him. There was no room when they went to the town. There was no room at the inn. They had to sleep in a manger where they fed animals. And she had that baby right there. She had baby Jesus, and she laid him in a manger, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, was their practice, and laid him in a manger in there. And, so Jesus said, dear woman, that's not our problem that they have no wine. And Jesus said, see, my time is not yet come. But she pushed him onward. She didn't even listen to what she said. She turned to the people. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. See, she knew something was going to happen. And my thought for you tonight is this, a message to you is this, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And that'll be the best outcome for your next move of God, for your next move with God. Do whatever he tells you. And you know, it says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, which we're not going to go there. I don't have a bunch of verses. Jesus said there, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I love Jesus. But what God's looking for, as it says in James, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Be a doer of the word. Do what God tells you to do, whatever he tells you. Well, they did that. And standing by, there was some jars, six big old stone jars that held about between 20 and 30 gallons each. And he told them, fill the jars up. Just fill the jars up. He didn't touch anything. He just told them what to do. See, they did what he told them to do. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions, you know. Is it that hard? The word says it's not. You know, the word says that what he's asking us to do here below, his commandments on faith and believing and purity and so many other things, they're not anything super hard to do. You don't have to be an Olympiad to be a child of God and to do what he's asked us to do. So when the master of the ceremonies tasted the water, it was now wine, and not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over and he said, man, he said, the host always serves the best wine first. Then when everybody has had a lot to drink, he brings out the crummy stuff. Now, I know I used to work for my dad when I was a kid. My dad had two or three bars, and my job was to clean them up. And my pay is whatever I found on the ground that had been just left on the floor there. And there's a couple things I remember about that. I will never forget the smell of a bar the morning after. And I'll tell you, I made more money cleaning up my dad's bars than I could on a paper route. A lot more money. And there's a lot of foolishness and nonsense that goes on in the world. And but this is what my dad would do. He had girls working for him. What were they? Prostitutes? What was the deal? Well, they would work for him, and they would get crummy booze, and they'd give the other guy and pay the price of the good stuff, and that's how it worked. That's just how my father was involved in the lower echelons of crime in the city of Chicago, and did criminal things, but they always gave the best first. So when you copped the buzz, well, then they would give you a lesser grade of alcohol and make this and pay the same money. So, but Jesus said, if you really love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 in the King James Version of the Bible. 'For this is the love of God.' If we really love God, see, we keep his commandments. And the word says, you know, his commandments, they're not grievous. They're not so hard to do. They're not overly hard to do what God's asking us to do. Anybody's capable of doing what God's asked us to do. And so when we don't, well, that says a lot. And the implications are this. If we don't do what God tells us to do, well, the results are not good. And they could be many and varied, but I'm not going to concentrate on that. I'm going to try to concentrate on what happens to the ones that are doers of the word. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look starting at verse 24 in the King James Version of the Bible. And this is what Jesus said. He was talking before, and he said, I said all of that to say this. That's what the therefore is. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise person, a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, because it was built upon a rock. Now, why should we do what God says? Why should we study his word and do what God says? Well, because we want to go to heaven, and that's what the Bible says we have to do. And I'll tell you another reason. There is nothing I can teach you in honesty that you're not going to have troubles. Because according to John, chapter 14, I think, in verse 16, in this world, you're going to have troubles. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to be a doer of the word, to do what I ask you to do. Every person knows whether or not we fail from time to time in certain things. That's what communion's all about. Communion is to a believer what an oil change is to a car. It's a time of refreshing. It's a time to get renewed. Just like every morning is a time to get renewed. Because the steadfast love of the Lord, Lamentations chapter 3, never ceases. God's love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. They're there for the taking every morning. When we pray, we got Evan up this morning real early. I thought he wanted to get up. I said, man, we're going to do our devotion. And I said these words. Millie said these words. Evan said these words. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit because I trust you. You know what that means? You have a plan for my life. That's the plan I want. I want to crucify and get rid of all of my plans. And I just want to know what your plan is. And I make it clear, Father, if it's my day to suffer loss, to have to deal with something I don't like, or to even die, if that's in your plan, I don't want to live another day past that. I just want what you want. You know why? I believe more than I know. God knows what's best for me. You know, when I got saved, and I must say, even now, I can remember saying to the guy that led me to the Lord, which was my uncle, I said, you know what? If I could have anything I wanted, I wouldn't know what to ask for. Because the pain and the emptiness inside of me was so real. Everything I tried to fill that empty place with, it just didn't work. The worldly things that I tried to put in myself to ease that pain and make myself feel better, honest to goodness, folks, it didn't work. And if you're born again, it didn't work for you either. So I just said this morning, I remember Jesus' last words. I think Brenda had a post on there about his last words recently. And I noticed you people saying what I say. That's what you're supposed to do. And that means that the word's getting inside of you. You know, into your hands I commit my spirit. The last words that Jesus said, and then he gave up the ghost. He gave up and just died right there. He had nothing more to prove. It was finished. What he came to do was finished. What wasn't understood by Satan, the word says in Corinthians, if the princes of this world, the dark princes of this world, would have understood what it meant to kill Jesus, they would have never crucified him. Because they unleashed their doom and their end on things. It's not to go past that. From that point on, anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved And you will have, as it says in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Like it's, and what do we have? Well, the word says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God brought into the world, to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what we're here to do. Love people, help to set them free, show them what kindness is. So when I pray now, so I've evolved after many years into making that a daily confession. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I want to please you, Lord. I don't want to please myself. I don't want to stray. I find I'm best when I just let things come. What happens? Sometimes bad things come. Sometimes people want to fight. They want to argue. I do the best I can with that. Sometimes I suffer loss. But most of the time, it's a blessed life to be a believer. And I'm telling you, since 1971, there hasn't been a day go by that I didn't think my life was better off than before I had Jesus. That's the gospel truth. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because I want to be. Lee Eller, which was Kenneth Hagin's best friend, said, Brother Angelo, with the way you got that word in you, if you went back to your town, to Chicago, you could have the biggest church in the city. I said, yeah, Lee, but there's one thing. This is where God's called me. This is where I'm supposed to be. And you know what? There it is once again. What's God's? And you know what? Evidently, I think everybody in this room, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where we are. And you know what? We find joy here. When you're where God is, you're going to be happy. You're going to have joy. You're going to be excited about getting up in the morning. Like the blessing prayer that I spoke over the volunteers this morning. You know, every week it's the same people. Just like every week it's the same people that come here. Now there's a few missing tonight, but you know what? I'm not here for numbers, money, or anything. You know what I'm here for? I'm here because this is where God wants me. I seek a word, and I give you what God gives me to give to you. And that's what's important, because you're important, because you're special. And it doesn't matter to God that there's only a handful of people here. You know, in settings a lot smaller than this, God works some powerful miracles. Powerful. In the Old Testament and the New Testament. So when troubles come to a doer of God's word, he survives. And, you know, I don't understand this modern phenomenon. The news brings it up all the time. We have it in our community, so it's worth addressing. How many young people think that the answer is to commit suicide? I'm 72. I've never spent a day of my life. I'll tell you what, when I was strung out on drugs and full of demons inside of me, they still couldn't make me talk me into making me think that'd be the best thing to do. Man, I always felt like this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. See, the great question was asked at the empty tomb. Why seek you the living among the dead? Hey, the thing about me, look here. Jesus is alive inside of me. Nobody has to tell me. Nobody can tell me that he ain't. Because since 1971, I know that he's been in there. I know that he's alive. And life is worth the living. And there has not to this day been anything, any temptation, any setback, any problem that I have not been able to overcome. Because the overcomer lives inside of me. I have sinned, as I've told you before, worse as a believer than as a sinner before. I was very young when I got saved. And I was very stupid, I guess, very hard-headed. But I learned this here. I learned that if I'd go to the Lord, He said this, and he's saying this to somebody tonight that might be wondering, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're going to have to leave me because I'm not going to leave you. And if you'll call out to me, I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to whatever you're asking me to fix, I'm going to fix. And tonight, in just a moment, we're going to ask God to fix things if we need them fixed. Get your mind on what you want God to do. Well, I've got something every day. Well, so do I. Why? Because life goes on. Things happen. There's challenges that happen to us every day. There's things we're working out. God is dealing with people in this room in certain ways, trying to reason with them. The word says, come, let us reason together. God is trying to reason with people here. God's not to run a Big Mac truck over people in here. He loves us. He doesn't run over us. He doesn't say, that's it. No, he's trying to reason with people and trying to share with you in a way that makes sense to you. And some of you are in a terrible situation in your life, and it's not fun, and it's unpleasant. But I have learned, the Apostle Paul said, the secret of success in life. And then he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm going to tell you right from here, I can live with my life. Whatever it is, I have to live with my successes. I have to live with my failures. I've learned to live with it all. And I've learned to just love it. And it's made me love God, because I've never met anybody more patient and kind. You know, the word literally tells us that God changes us mostly by his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. See, that's how he dealt with me. And for us to deal with others in a different way besides that, it's unbiblical. What we need to do, be imitators of Jesus and how he deals with people. He was just kind to people. And he let people have the last word. And he always respected people in this way. He let people know, your life belongs to you. We gave it to you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we gave you a gift of life. And it's yours what to do with what you want. But if I were you, the word says, and the Lord says, I'd give your life back to me. And see, what God wants is your life. To be born again is when you say, like I said, I don't even know what's wrong with me, God. I don't know how I got like this. And I want to give my life back to you. I want to be born again. And he heard me and saved me. He's heard many, maybe perhaps all in this room. But be encouraged tonight that God loves you. God's not mad at you. And God knows this is not easy. If it was easy, everybody'd be in this church. We wouldn't have enough churches in this city. But to be born again, you have to work out your salvation. That's what the word says. With a sober-minded view of it, with fear and trembling, which means take God serious while we're here. Because I see the same problems in Logan County that I see on the national news. One of the great phenomenons is that somehow this generation that's been raised on that telephone, that has caused depression and anxiety. I don't even understand. I don't think they understand it. But it's, and just recently, just in the last 10 days, three young people in our community have thought that killing themselves, committing suicide, was the best thing to do. How about in 2023, I think it was, when somebody decided to go into the Sonic and kill people and then go and kill themselves? What is the sense of that? What is the sense of it? Think about it. Now, what we have to do is be the opposite of that if we want to get the opposite effect. If you want to have that peace like a river under all circumstances, you can have that. I've had it. And when I mess up, I know where to go. And I've had to go plenty. I've had to be forgiven. I've had to have people forgive me. You know, it helps you to realize how rich life is. Go to 1 Kings with me, chapter 3, verse 14. And here's what the word says there. Let me set the stage. This is Solomon. He's just started leading Israel, the nation. And God appears to Solomon and says, "What do you want?" And Solomon said, "This is a great thing for me to have to do, to be the king of your people. And I don't feel like I have the knowledge to do that. If you would give me an understanding heart, if you would give me the heart to lead these people the right way." And God was impressed with what he said before these verses right here. And this is what he said, "Solomon," and this is a promise to every one of us here, "if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments as your father did walk, then I will lengthen your days." In the Bible, there are verses that show people can shorten their days and people can lengthen their days by the way they live their life. Now, what if you're a martyr? Well, if you're a martyr, that means somebody that dies for the cause of Christ. That's another one in there, to give your life for the Lord, because you have to. But we haven't had to do that. And just think about that. If we will just do what we can, look here. Look at how few people are here to even hear this tonight. If we will just do what God wants us to do, we can please him, and he will add years to our life. What a promise. But some people seem to be in a hurry to die. And they hurry it by taking their own life. And I'm not worried about who's doing that in California or in Chicago where I'm from. I'm worried about where I live. Is there something in the water? What is making people think that it's better to end your life? One of the greatest miracles I was ever a part of. I was at my sister's house up in Algonquin, Illinois. And her and Steve, her husband, were into it. And she had over some bad stuff. And she sent him on his way. And I'll never forget, I was on their back deck there. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, "Angelo." And I can always tell when he's calling me. I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Your brother-in-law is trying to kill himself right now." Now, what if you blurt that out and that's not so? What if you hold your tongue back and it is so? I have never been afraid to do the first verse. Whatever he tells me, I try to do. Except for when I'm sinning. When I'm sinning, I got to find that old rugged cross and I got to get in front of it. I've had to do that a lot in my life. And I said, "Kathy, God is telling me that Steve is trying to kill himself right now." And that shocked her, and she said, "Well, you better call him." Well, I just called him right there. And when I called, so help me God, I haven't made it this long by making up stories. He was screaming, "Ange, Ange, How did you know what I'm, he was hanging himself in the closet right then. Now, if this is what I know who I am. And I no longer have a high and lofty view of myself, but just I know I wake up every morning, I'm a son. And if you're born again, you're a son or a daughter, you're a child of God. There's nothing higher than anybody could, that's as famous as you can be, is to be a child of God. And if you're not careful, and if you'll yield to him, he'll use you to change people's lives. And if he can use somebody like me, he can use anybody. Anybody. Every year, my brother-in-law tells me, usually in the summertime around the 4th of July, he'll send me a post that says, thank you for saving my life. He had done some terrible things. He thought it was over. And boy, I'll tell you what, we got him back in the house, and we talked, and they went through a lot of counseling. They tried as hard as they could to fix their marriage. And by golly, that was several years ago. They didn't give up. And God is saving their marriage. Last verse, Psalm 143, verses 7 through 12. This is a prayer I want you to think about tonight. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. That sounds like right now, right in our life, our depression deepens. Right up at this altar, Sunday night, all these kids were having anxiety and depression, problems like that. I never heard of problems like that when I was a kid. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I'm trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will. Now there it is. When you get on your knees tonight, teach me to do your will. See, you got to learn how to do the will of the Lord. I could read on and on. I'm not going to hold you up. Let's make an altar or come to the altar, whatever you want. Let's take communion, get some food, and go home and be blessed.